Our scripture text this morning is continuing to follow in the theme of 2 Peter chapter 2. And this morning I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles, in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there. And I don't remember the page, but anyhow. 1889. Good year. There you go. Anyhow, I'm just reading one verse to start off as we follow along in this theme. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Reverend Henry Maxwell was pastor of First Church in Raymond, New York, and I believe the year was 1897, according to Charles Sheldon's classic novel, In His Steps. And if you haven't read this book, I highly recommend it. It's a well-read Christian novel, a classic, and this is actually our church library copy. If anybody would like to borrow it, you're welcome to. I have another copy of it that I picked up along the way if you want to borrow that, but just a great, great book. And I will resist the temptation to read you some of it. It's a great classic. But the title of this morning's message, What Would Jesus Do?, is taken from our text here in 1 Peter chapter 2. In His Steps, we've been following along. Reverend Maxwell, in this book, is faced with a personal crisis. God is at work in his life. And this crisis is born out of an unsettling encounter with a homeless person that knocked on his door, landed on his step there in his parsonage. And a homeless person, young man, but I can imagine, because I had had similar feelings of concern as I've had people that are looking for help and assistance, homeless people knocking on parsonage doors over the years that I've been involved in. But through a series of events, including the next day, Sunday morning, when the man showed up for church and collapsed in the aisle of this prominent, prestigious, and also prosperous downtown church in the day, it led him led Maxwell to some soul-searching and life-defining decisions that dramatically changed him, his church, and his whole community, actually, bringing a new view of Christian discipleship for him and for all that he preached to. The popular "What Would Jesus Do?" question comes from this book and from this discussion. Reverend Maxwell decided to commit for a whole year to ask the question, what would Jesus do when faced with any question, large or small, in his life, and to pose that challenge to his congregation for 1 year, to make a vow to discern what Jesus would do and then commit to doing that no matter what the consequences, what a course of action. And the result was revival. God honored that and poured out his Holy Spirit upon him and the church. What would Jesus do? Back in the 90s, this was made popular by people who read this book or didn't read this book. The question, WWJD, you see that on wristbands or buttons or pins or bumper stickers, T-shirts. And maybe it's time to revisit this question because it provides a great template, a great model for us today to think about how we decide what God's will is. what we should do in any given situation and circumstance. This has actually become a sermon series as I've been meditating on this in the footsteps of Jesus from our text. I first preached on what did Jesus do. If before you can ask what would Jesus do, one must ask the question, what did Jesus do? And we talked about how stepping up, Jesus stepped up in faith and courage to die to save us. And Jesus stepped in as our substitute, as our Redeemer, to redeem us from our sin. And he stepped out to lead us, to go before us as the great shepherd of our souls. Second week in this series was Pentecost Sunday, and we talked about keeping in step with the Spirit. And we talked about how the Holy Spirit enables us and empowers us to walk with God, to live by the Spirit, to love by the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. This week, we're going to focus on now the culmination or the climax of this series. What would Jesus do? And think about this life-changing standard. It's kind of like the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a good credo to live by, right? All kinds of things. But again, chapter 2, verse 21, hear it again. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Kind of this image of following in the Father's footsteps reminds me, Bev and I like to watch some of the Animal Planet shows and National Geographic shows on TV, and I don't know if you watch any of those, but there's always the Alaska shows, the Final Frontier, and the Alaskan Bush People, and Life Below Freezing. You ever see these shows? And sometimes it's snowing so heavily in these northern regions that little kids could get lost walking. And I remember something that reminded me of something I did when I was a kid. I would be following my dad, walking with my dad in snow that was up to his knees and therefore up to my neck practically, right? Last week. Anyhow, he said, just follow in my footsteps and take the same steps that I do so I can pave the way for you, right? And he had to take shorter steps because my legs were shorter. But there's the picture. The Father leads us out and we follow in his footsteps. We follow Jesus where he went. What would Jesus do? Let's take one step at a time. Consider the question, what would Jesus do? WWJD, the first letter, W, what? We are given a chance to choose. To choose what would Jesus do? In a choice-loving culture and society, it's decision time. Big and little, you've already made many decisions today. Am I going to go to church today? Am I going to watch online? Am I going to not even do either. Anyhow, what should I eat for breakfast? Cornflakes or pancakes? Or scrambled eggs? Or whatever. What am I going to do this afternoon? At the risk of entering a distraction into your mind, I'm going to raise that. But all these decisions that we have to think about, big and little, following in the steps of the Savior starts with a fork in the road. And of course, when I say that, you know, I have to quote Yogi Berra, right? When you find a fork in the road, you take it. Never mind. Or two roads diverged in the middle of a wood. I took the one less traveled by. Jesus says, don't take the broad, expansive way and follow the crowd, but take the straight and narrow way. Follow in his steps. We have a choice. WWJD presupposes that we have an option to choose. What? What would? The second letter, WWJD, what would? It's a question of the will, a question of volition. It's not a matter of could you or should you, right? Should you, could you, would you? It's not a matter of ability or opportunity. What could I do? It's not primarily a matter of responsibility or obligation. What should I do? You know what you should do, but the question is, what will I do? Are you willing to do what Jesus did and follow in his steps? Jesus' model and example is the perfect example, the perfect pattern, the perfect paradigm to follow. And he was willing to conform to the Father's will. Not my will, but thine be done, Jesus prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. How about you? Are you willing to do what Jesus would do? Are you willing to go where he calls you to go, to be who he calls you to be? WWJ, what would Jesus? Again, Jesus is key. With many mentors and models in life, Jesus is the real example, the real model for Christian living and righteousness. Many tend to emulate those they admire. Many today tend to imitate those they look up to. But can you let Christ be your pattern, be your example to follow his way, his will? Let Christ be your pathfinder. Let Christ be the one who sets your course. Let Christ set the pace for your steps. Not others, not self, not even following your heart. Last night I was watching one of these BBC mystery shows, and the question came up, well, what would you do? And I thought, what would Christ do? No, what would you do, was being asked. And the response came back, well, just follow your gut. Follow your heart. That's the word for today. That's the way the world says, just follow your feelings, follow your heart. And I say to you, Christian, follow Christ's heart. Okay? Follow, discern what God wants, follow the heart of God in every situation. What would Jesus do? There's no standard of truth and righteousness higher than Jesus himself. So what would Jesus do? There's step number four. Following Jesus in his steps. Christian disciples are involved in doing. It's an action. It's an active, not passive, spectator sport. Watching, observing. No, we are called to doing. To be doers of the word, not hearers only, as James said. As Jesus said, if anyone would follow after me, come after me, he must deny himself or herself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is something that we are invited to follow Jesus doing, putting into practice the pattern of living that Jesus provides. Well, I want to think for just a minute before closing about the practice and application. Practically speaking, how do we live WWJD? What would Jesus do? How do we live like this? Three little words. Stop, look, and listen. Like the sign at a railroad crossing. Maybe you don't even remember that back in the day. Is it still up there? Do you still see signs? Stop, look, and listen at railroad crossing. Anyhow, we'll take it in steps. Step one, stop. Stop what you're doing. Catch yourself before you do or you say anything without thinking. Right? Put on pause the natural reflexive impulses, the habit patterns such as criticizing, complaining, or simply complying with what's going on around us, whatever, put on pause. Stop for a minute and ask the question, ask yourself the question, what should I do? What would Jesus do? So much of what we say and do is a matter of simple reaction by habit. So stop. Think. And secondly, step two, look. Look at Jesus. Whatever you're facing, whatever your choice, look to Jesus. Again, our key verse, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, right? Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Look to Jesus and look to God's word. Many questions about what would Jesus do can be answered as they're spelled out right in scripture, right? Ten commandments. A great pattern. You'll have no idols, no stealing, no lying, no coveting, no committing adultery. Honor your parents. Keep the Sabbath. All of this is laid out. This is what Jesus did and what he calls us to do. WWJD involves obedience to the authority of God's word and the standard of his truth. Black and white, right there in God's word. So stop, look, and listen. Sometimes things aren't always clear. Some things are not revealed plainly in scripture, not in black and white. Should I take this job? Should I buy this car? Should I go out with this guy or girl? Learn to listen to the guiding voice, the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen. Listen to what God is saying to you, particularly, pointedly, giving you direction to follow in his steps. This morning, how about you? Reverend Henry Maxwell challenged his congregation to take a pledge. Will you stop and consider what would Jesus do and then commit, he said, for a year to do what Jesus would do, to say what Jesus would say, to go where Jesus would go? That's the fork in the road. That's the decision before every one of us today. You have a choice. To this, all of us were called because Christ left an example to follow in his steps. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power and truth of your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that enlivens your word and enables us to hear and respond in obedience. Give us grace to live in a way that honors you, to respond in love and obedience as we seek to be followers, as we seek to be your disciples. Search our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.